Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Abraham is a 26-year veteran of military intelligence, a lawyer, and an Army Reserve officer. In September of 2004, he was on active duty and assigned to the Defense Department office that oversees the combatant status review tribunals. In an affidavit made public yesterday, Abraham described a tribunal process that relied on limited and generic intelligence. He said officers were pressured to declare detainees enemy combatants. The Pentagon says Colonel Abraham was not in a position to have a complete view of the process, which it deems fair and robust. Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Abraham joins us on the line from California. Welcome.
Thank you, and good afternoon.
Now, let's just remind our listeners what these combatant status review tribunals are. This is the government's opportunity to justify holding terrorist suspects indefinitely at Guantanamo without charging them with a crime.
That's correct. It's important to remember that this was not a trial. There were no crimes involved. These were not the sorts of things that people might hearken back to Nuremberg in attempting to compare. This was only a hearing held to make a status determination. And ultimately, the only question before the board was, should this person be released or held?
And it was three military officers who would hear the evidence here. The detainees would not have a defense lawyer. They would have a personal representative provided by the military.
That's correct.
Now, in your affidavit, you describe this as generic intelligence. And you also describe it as information that was oftentimes compiled by people who had no legal or intelligence training.
Oftentimes, what would be relied on were generalized statements. Now, to be very clear, for many of the people, there were very specific pieces of information, but typically pieces of information that began with the first time anyone had contact with them. A detention report, a capturing officer's report, a processing report. But these didn't necessarily go to the fundamental question of what brought that person to the point where they then became a detainee.
Can you give me an example of what you would deem generic evidence?
Background studies regarding a region, tribal studies, articles that would discuss various campaigns of groups. What you in essence had was a large collection of information, much of it relating to background. Then you would have very detailed information about the individual, but not necessarily information designed to answer a very specific question. Is this person an enemy combatant?
Let's talk a bit now about your role as an officer on one of these tribunals. In your affidavit, you describe pressure on officers hearing the cases. And in fact, when you tell the story of being on the panel, which ended up finding no factual basis for classifying the detainee as an enemy combatant, you felt like you were pressured. What happened?
There were two ways that we were pressured. The first was, I think, an overarching, permeating view or impression that to release anybody would result in a risk to security. Again, you start with the impression. You add to that the inference to be given by the fact that somebody is a detainee. It's sort of the guilty unless proven innocent, or the comment often made in the criminal context, well, if he was arrested, he must be guilty.
What happened when your panel decided that the detainee was not an enemy combatant?
We were told very specifically that to the extent we had questions about the quality of the evidence and questions that went beyond the evidence that was offered to us, that the recorder should be provided the opportunity to go back, research the questions, find answers, bring them back, essentially
a second hearing.
A second hearing.
When you started noticing the pressure, the problems with the intelligence being used, what did you do about it? The Pentagon is saying that you did not raise these concerns with your superior officers at the time.
In December, I specifically sent a letter to Admiral McGarrah expressing concerns in, I think, a more broad sense about the issues that had been raised as a result of at least one federal district judge's opinion. And after having reviewed the opinion and discussed it with other JAG officers in the organization, I came to the conclusion, as to myself, that there were a number of valid concerns regarding the role of lawyers, whether civilian lawyers or military lawyers, as a part of this process.
The letter that you sent was to Rear Admiral James McGarrah, who was overseeing the tribunal process at the time.
Correct. It was hand-delivered. I can only presume it was hand-delivered to him. It was given to my immediate supervisor.
So when the Pentagon says that you didn't bring this up, you're saying, oh, yes, I did.
Oh, yes, I did.
Now that you have spoken out about your concerns in this affidavit that's been made public, what do you hope comes of that?
There are many things that I hope come of it. Firstly, is that we recognize that the Constitution is not championed, not best defended when we roll it up and lock it up. We certainly should not be afraid of the consequences of applying fundamental constitutional principles to any hearing. One of the common criticisms that has been made of this entire process is that it lacks due process. But nobody has offered any detail, not as to the policies, but as to the actual process. And the more fundamental question is, why are we seemingly afraid to allow for a procedure that gives respect to due process, both in terms of substance and procedure?
Stephen Abraham is a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserves. He worked with the Combatant Status Review Tribunals in 2004 and 2005. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, China looks at the life of Martin Luther King Jr. on stage. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.